Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The blown call in the Nationals game that, by the way, we all knew was a blown call when it happened, which was that a pitch that had clearly been a pass ball on a dead ball that should have resulted in everyone staying put, batters out, innings over, nothing to see here.
Three more runs, don't score.
Gets by, runner ends up getting on first base because they allow him to, and then, as you said, three more runs score. So we knew the Nats were screwed out of three runs, basically. Joe Torre admitted to that yesterday on the radio. He said, yeah, that was incorrect. The rule book wasn't executed properly. But he also, in that interview, put the onus on Dusty Baker, which was interesting to me. He said Dusty came out. All he would have had to do, since you can't challenge that play, is say, hey, I want you to check the rule book. And if a manager asks to check the levying of a rule from the rule book, then the umpires are able to put the headset on and go to New York and talk about the rule book.
Oh.
And he said Dusty should have done that. I wonder if that was part of what cost him dearly in that series. Because we know that, or at least we assume, I should say, the way he handled the Steven Strasburg, Tanner Roark, who's going to start game four thing, didn't bode well for him.
At a minimum, it didn't help.
Correct.
His case, you would say.
Obviously, them losing the series, some of the decisions he made, all those things hurt him. But I wonder, with Joe Torre saying that publicly on the radio yesterday, that according to him, and he talks to all the umpires, he's involved in that process for Major League Baseball as a director in that office. He said, yeah, Dusty should have asked for a clarification through the umpires of the rule book. Now, you could also say the umpire should know the rule book, and you'd be right.
Yeah, and Matt Wieter should catch the ball. There's a lot of things that should have happened right there.
But if Dusty didn't do that, and that's a recourse he has, I could see Mark Lerner being upset about that.
I could see a lot of people being upset about that, including me. I'm pointing at myself.
One
I'm
of
upset.
Them's you?
Yeah, I'm upset. Just thinking about that again. But please catch the ball. Please don't fire it into right field in the most awkward way possible. Good. Everything about that was just so terrible. Everybody screwed up. Everyone on the field screwed up at least once, except for, because keep in mind, Javier Baez swung at a terrible pitch. He's out. He screwed up. Matt Wieter screwed up. The umpire screwed up. I think Zim probably screwed up in trying to stretch and how weird he was. The guy, Daniel Murphy, backing up in right field screwed up. Everybody screwed up.
Is there anything more John Maddening than the posthumous sorry in sports? Than the after the fact, I know the game's over and you've already lost. I know that your team is dead, which is why I'll use the term posthumous. I know that your season has expired. But just so you know, we got that one wrong. Nothing annoys me more, and that doesn't help me feel any better.
Because I'm of two minds. One of my favorite things to do is, I don't even care anymore about the money, or I don't even care anymore about this. Just admit that you were wrong. I want to hear you say that you were wrong or that you screwed me over. I'm not asking for anything other than that at this point. Like, I've had various episodes of customer service or you know, various run-ins in my life. Admit to me that you screwed me, jerk. And then they go, yeah, we did. And I go, oh, all right. Well, now I remain screwed. That's kind of what happened. I remain screwed. I got a little satisfaction out of it.
But you wanted them to say that they screwed you.
But now that I got that satisfaction, it doesn't help like I thought it would.
See, to me, I'd rather just never think about it again. After that night, I knew you were wrong. You knew you were wrong. You knew that I knew that you knew that I knew that you knew.
We were aware.
Let's just all go our separate directions and never talk about it again.
Mm.
Mike's in Landover wants to talk about last night's hit. Joe Flacco goes down. Kiko Alonso takes a shot. Should Kiko Alonso have been ejected? Is this suspendable? And by the way, I just posted a tweet at Grant H. Paulson. It was actually a screen grab by Matt Valdez from the Junks of Flacco giving himself up at the 13-yard line while Alonso is still at the 9-yard line. 4 yards separating them. He absolutely has time to pull up based on that screen grab. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
How you doing, Grant Bang?
What's up, buddy?
At the end of the day, man, it's a violent sport. Now, I don't think that hit warranted him to get ejected from the game or a suspension. It definitely warranted a penalty, but neither of the latter two should have been enforced. But I will say this. At the end of the day, I coach football, I play football. It is a violent, violent sport. So now what they're doing with the youth in football, they're teaching them hands-up football, where you get more shoulder than helmet on tackles. The problem is nobody wants to use their shoulder pads when they tackle them. You know, even when you look at the old video clips of Jack Lambert and all these great linebackers, they did a lot of arm tackling and a lot of eye gouging and grabbing certain areas that shouldn't be grabbed to get players down.
Oh, yeah, that era was kind of the wild, wild west.
100%.
By the way, Kiko Alonso led with his shoulder and his arm last night. The form wasn't as bad as Trevathan several weeks ago when he went helmet to helmet with a spear. But the blow from the shoulder and the arm was to the head. Joe's in the Navy Yard. Joe's gone. Let's go to Uzama in Pittsburgh.
Uzama,
what's
up, dude?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, man.
This is what I think. And I just thought of this, and I'm sure probably other people have thought of this too. You know, on the fair catch rule, might as well do this for the quarterbacks. It takes out the unsureness of the defender. It takes out the possible elusiveness of the quarterback, and essentially cuts to the root of the problem. Now, you know, people might say, okay, how late is too late for, like, waving an arm? And that's, you know, for an argument for another day, but I think that adds a little more time before actually getting hit.
Here's where I don't think you could legislate that, and it's the point you bring up kind of as a devil's advocate to yourself, which is it takes longer to slide than it does to just raise your arm. So I think you'd have a lot of guys bailing themselves out at the last second and raising their arm. I just don't think that would work. The defender wouldn't have time to pull up. You have more time to pull up, and you avoid more hits this way, sliding rather than just full speed to waving over your head. What would be the problem? Pat's in Rockville. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Grant, Danny. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
My comment is that I still have a problem with Alonzo's his defense with saying that Flacco slid late. But, you know, to corroborate the whole thing about the distance between when Flacco began his slide and where Alonzo was, Flacco was almost horizontal by the time that hit happened. So I think Alonzo had time to pull up. And if people are saying, you know, football is good because it's, you know, it has that sort of violent aspect, you know, we know better now that we don't smoke on planes. So I'm saying still keep – make football, like, tough, but we can still refine a little bit to make it a little bit safer.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's why I say penalize the guy, and if he got kicked out yesterday, I'd go, that's unfortunate because I don't think he had the intent of hurting somebody, but I can live with that because of what we're trying to do here, which is to get these terrifying, horrible, life-altering collisions out of the sport.
But you wouldn't have ejected him. You would have just felt like I do about the suspension, which is if he doesn't get suspended, I'm fine with that. I'd suspend him a game. You're saying similarly, you wouldn't have ejected him, but you would have been okay with it.
Yeah, I personally would not have been like, he's got to go, because that's the first thing everybody did on Twitter last night, and all everybody, and I understand that.
I would have ejected him, just because, you know, at some point, if we don't start doing that, I don't know why anything changes.
Right.
And you've had chances with Trevathan and with Kiko Alonso. Remember, it was just this offseason that they changed this idea that if there's an egregious hit, these guys can be booted. And we really have not seen that levied yet. And I'm wondering if not these, then when? And you said earlier, and I thought it was a good point, when this isn't a speed of the game infraction, which is interesting. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's look ahead to the Redskins and the Cowboys. Brad Sham's the voice of the Cowboys. He's going to join us in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Next, let's look at how the Redskins beat Dallas. What has to happen? We'll take a look at the injury report for the Cowboys. Could they be without any key pieces that could even the playing field? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.